All right, are you there in Hebrews chapter 12? Beginning a series this morning called Relentless, and I hope that you were blessed by the Victorious series that was in the previous few months, and I know I was. And can I just tell you, as I'm preaching it, I'm hearing it. And as I'm studying it, God's speaking to me, and God's inevitably, he's doing something in my life. Because before I'm your pastor, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm growing in my faith. Come on, I haven't arrived. And I'm grateful for some of the things that God's done in my life, but he's not done with me yet. And the way I look today and who I am in him, he's not finished with me yet. And so as I'm preaching it, I'm receiving it, and I'm hearing it, and I'm pulling it into my own life, and I'm applying it. And I hope you were blessed. And we wrapped up that series, Victorious. And if you missed some of those messages, go back and listen to them, because it really is the heart of God for you as a believer, as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, to live in the victory of Jesus Christ. We're beginning a four-week series. We're going to have two series this fall or throughout the end of 2018. And the second one that we're going to get to in November and December is about the Holy Spirit, about who the Holy Spirit is, and about everything that God's Word has to say about the Holy Spirit, about how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that empowers you. And I'm praying about what to call it, and I'm considering calling it The Advantage. Because Jesus, in the New American Standard Translation, he said it this way. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, that the Father would send the promised Holy Spirit. And it's an advantage to know the Holy Spirit and to live in a relationship with him. Come on, he comes and he reminds us of what God says about us. He comes and he convicts us of sin. He comes and he encourages us and edifies us. He strengthens us and he helps us to fulfill the purposes of God for our life. So we're going to get into that, and I hope you begin to become excited about that and anticipate all that God's going to do in your life. But first, this series that we're kicking off this morning is called Relentless, and it's about building a faith into your life that endures the trials and the problems of life. It's about really understanding that to live victorious, like we learned and like we sought out, like we pulled into our life, there's going to be some times where you have to persevere. There's going to be some times where you have to endure some things. There's going to be some times where you have to keep on keeping on. There's going to be some times where you have to prepare yourself in the private place, in the presence of God, so that when those days come, you can make it through the storm. You can make it to the other side. We're talking about how to live that life relentless. And the Lord put five D's on my heart that we're going to address. And they are how to overcome, how to be relentless, how to live an enduring faith, how to overcome disappointment, discouragement, doubt, delay, and defeat. Come on, sometimes when I ask you these things, I'm just kind of asking it rhetorically, but I really want you to show your hands this morning. How many of you have ever, in your faith journey, ever experienced discouragement? Let me see your hands. Keep them up, keep them up. How many of you have ever experienced disappointment in your faith journey? Let me see your hands. How many of you ever had something that you were expecting God to do? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. We're going somewhere with this. How many of you ever expected God to do something and it didn't happen in the timeline that you expected it and you encountered delay? How many of you have ever suffered loss? You thought it was going to go one way and it went completely opposite. The business failed. The marriage failed. You've experienced a defeat. Let me see your hand. Come on, look now. Just look around the room. You're not alone. You're not alone. Now you put your hands down. God's heart for you is to build a faith that endures discouragement, disappointment, doubt, delay, and defeat. God's heart for you is to build a faith that helps you to make it through those seasons. Amen. And come on, can I just tell you, I believe it more now more than ever in the culture that we live in. Hear me. Tune in, church. Listen to me, church. In that season that we live in the culture that we live in, more than ever, it's going to be important for the people of God to build their lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ and God's Word. There's a shaking that's happening in our culture. There's opposition. There's an Antichrist spirit that's alive and well, and it's increasing in our culture to oppose the gospel and oppose the Word of God and oppose those that stand for Jesus. Come on, you can talk about God if you want, but sometimes when you start to talk about Jesus, people get uncomfortable and they start to push back. And there's an Antichrist spirit that's opposing us. Come on, is it possible? How many of you know that in these next 10, 20, 30 years, is it possible that the Church of Jesus Christ, even in the United States of America, could begin to experience some opposition and maybe even some oppression, and there could even be some trials and tribulations that could come against us as the people of God? But here's what I want to encourage you with. They've been doing it since day one. and the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well and the kingdom of God is advancing. They've tried to shut it down. It didn't work. They've tried to shut us up. It didn't work. Come on. Sometimes even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of attacks, all it did is pour fuel on the fire that is the hope of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Amen? So come on. Even in the midst of all that, we can have hope. We can stand in faith, but we've got to begin to build a faith that endures. Come on, let's pray this morning and invite the presence of the Lord here to speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us and to help us to build that kind of a faith, even in the midst of the days that we live in that are evil and increasingly evil. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we come before you today as your people, and we say you are our God. And we thank you for the freedom that we do have today to gather together in your name in this place and to open up your word and to study your scriptures and to see your heart revealed to us, Lord. And Father, today we pray any of us this morning who are going through any of those things, we are experiencing discouragement, disappointment. There's doubt in our faith. There's been delay about when you're going to move, when you're going to show up, when you're going to answer the prayer, when you're going to do the thing. Or some of us this morning maybe have experienced a defeat. And Lord, we thank you today that your heart is to heal, your heart is to strengthen, your heart is to mend, your heart is to come and to strengthen us as your people today to begin to once again live out our faith in a way that is enduring the trials and the troubles of this world. And Lord, we open our hearts, we open our minds before you. We invite you, Lord, this morning to come and to speak to us. We invite you, Lord, we present those things before you. Come on, people of God, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And right there where you are, as I pray over us corporately, just do business with God. You know what you're up against. And just present it before him this morning and say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for encouraging me in your word. Thank you for reminding me of some things this morning that are in your heart for me and towards me. Thank you, Lord, for revealing some things to me today, maybe in a new way or a fresh way. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening me today so I can live out my faith in a way that reveals Jesus, revives people to life, brings about your kingdom, and is pleasing to you. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, all God's precious people said, amen, 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 amen. All right, are you there? Hebrews chapter 12. If you're there, say I'm there. If you don't got your Bible or you haven't clicked to it, they'll put it up behind me. You can follow along. And in verse chapter 1, it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that holds us down. Come on, say every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Come on, say run with endurance. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. How? How? By keeping our eyes upon Jesus, the champion, this translation says, the New Living, who initiates and perfects our faith. And then it goes on and it's saying, come on, we do this. We're going to run this race. We're going to have the endurance by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And then it shows us a little bit about what he modeled for us. And it says, because of the joy that was awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Because he did that, it says, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Come on, say endured. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not given your lives in your struggle against sin. He says, we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses, not spectators, but witnesses to this life of faith. And he says, we're going to have to throw some things off, and we're going to have to run the race. And we're going to have to, as we're running, prepare ourselves to run with endurance. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, who modeled how to do it. The heart of God is for us to begin to endure some things, to begin to persevere. While I'm talking, turn over to Mark chapter 2. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. There's going to be a lot of scripture this morning because I want to show you the heart of God for you and for me and for us and for his church to become a people of persevering faith, of enduring faith. That there's a race that God's called you to run. There's a race that God's called me to run. And in some ways they're similar, but in some ways they're unique. And God's graced you to run the race that he's called you to run. And he's graced me to run the race that he's called me to run. Come on, I'm glad that I don't have to run your race. And you're not called to run my race. You don't need the endurance to run my race. And I don't need the endurance to run your race. But there's something God's called you to. And you better believe that if God's called you to it, there's going to be opposition. And you're going to have to prepare in advance to in that moment, begin to do what that scripture says and remember the people that have gone before you. Most foremost, Jesus, who came and he endured the suffering of the cross because of the joy set before him. And I think the joy that was set before him was the way that he knew that what he was doing was going to be a blessing to you. And I just think it's amazing that Jesus, all that while he was going through, come on, there's some real pain, some real sorrow, some real tribulation. The cross was a real thing that Jesus had to endure, and he felt the physical pain. And can I just encourage you this morning, the race that God's run and outlined for you to run, there are going to be some seasons, there are going to be some challenges, there are going to be some chapters, and it's going to really feel painful. It's going to really hurt. There's going to be some real things, some real disappointments, some real discouragement, some real doubt that enters in, some real delay that you experience, some real defeats that you go through. So I'm not minimizing that. In fact, that's the whole point of the message. Did you know that God's, I just so appreciate in God's word, he doesn't shy away from the problems and the troubles that people, that the people of God of old walked through. And I think it's amazing that even the gospel, the salvation, the plan that God initiated according to God's word, just in the right time, to save you and me, even involved a painful situation. And can I just tell you, when you're going through that situation, the Bible says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember him who endured that for the joy set before him. When you're going through the problems, when you're in your marriage and your family, as you're pursuing a dream, as you're building a ministry, as you're stepping out in faith, as you're raising your kids, come on, where are my parents at this morning? There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some opposition. And in that moment, you can take heart in knowing that your God is familiar with those things. And the very plan of salvation included a death that at one time, if you just looked at it with a snapshot picture, you would say, well, it's over. But the good news was, 3 days later, the power of God moved in a hopeless situation, and Jesus sprung to life and made it possible for you and I to overcome impossible situations. And as a believer of Jesus Christ, because of this power of the gospel and because of the power of the way that God ordained for it to happen, impossible is a part of your DNA. Faith for impossible things is a part of your DNA. Faith to do things that seem impossible. Come on, the things that even seem impossible with man, what does God's word say? They're possible with who? With God. With God. Are you there in Mark chapter 2? I think this is one of the most powerful examples in biblical stories about persevering faith and enduring faith. And it says in verse chapter 1, pick up there in Mark chapter 2, and it says, again he entered Capernaum after some days. It was heard that he was in the house. Who's in the house? JC, yeah, I was hoping someone would get that. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Can you picture it? In your mind's eye, the place is jammed. Not just around where Jesus is sitting on the couch and the coffee table and everything, you know, in the living room or where they were gathering, but the place is so jammed up of people that even the doorway, people are spilling out the windows and the doors. And it says, and he, Jesus, preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, come on, say because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, come on, say breakthrough, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And they said, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I'm not sure that's grammatically correct, but that is how we say it in Texas. Come on, we never saw anything like this. It says, verse 4, they could not come near him because of the crowd. And I just want to encourage you, some people, some of us, as God's people, we never get close to God. We don't experience the breakthrough that he has for us because of the crowd. Because of the fear of man, because of the fear of what are people going to think? What are they going to say? And I love God, and I know I need God in my life, but but I'm just concerned about how I'll be viewed at work, and I'm concerned about the promotion that's due me. And we never press into God, and we don't experience the breakthrough that he has for us because of the crowd. And I'm just challenging you, people of God, that this is a season where, as the people of God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the fear of man and to press in and press through the crowd and what people are going to think and what people are going to say, to press in and break through all those things, those crowds that stand between us and God, to get close to Jesus and discover everything that he has for you and for me, to discover everything that he has for your marriage, your family, your future, your finances, every area of your life, to press through the crowd. You know, there's another way to look at that, and I think that we can sometimes get lost in the crowd at church. I think sometimes we can come to church and we put our church face on and we realize that that's a good thing to do, and it's a good thing to bring our kids to youth group, and it's a good thing to bring our kids to children's ministry, and we have something that we value about God and about church, but when we come, we're really just a face in the crowd. And I believe if we allow ourselves to live that way, we miss out on the fullness of what God wants to do, of really drawing near and growing close and going deep and beginning to discover the purpose of God for your life. And I want to encourage you, if that's you this morning, come on, embrace. I pray today that something breaks off of you. I pray today that you begin to see that you're not just a face in the crowd, that you matter to the purposes of God. You matter to the plan of God in Lawrence, Kansas, and the surrounding area. You matter to the vision that God has established for Rev City Church. You matter to this family. Don't get lost in the crowd. Take a step out and press through. Come on, you got to, today the easy thing to do would be to just go to lunch, to just go get your chicken at Popeyes and go home and watch the noon NFL game. But press through the crowd and come to the lunch today and say, I've been coming for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, or maybe I once served and I haven't been recently. I'm here because God's calling me to step out and step in and begin to fulfill the purpose of God for my life. How can I help? How can I serve? Don't get lost in the crowd. Listen, they carried this guy who knows how far. Who knows how far they carried this guy. And when they got there, they discovered that they couldn't get close to Jesus. And, you know, I counsel and I meet with people all the time, and I see people who started out with good intentions. And they started out on something, a journey towards God, a journey towards a ministry, a journey towards a life of purpose. But they ran into some obstacles along the way. And something in their life, something that happened, something that stood in their way, put them on the sidelines of life. And I want to tell you that in this scripture, in this passage, I think we see that the charge of God to sometimes press through those obstacles, to not take no for an answer early on, to be willing to say, listen, we carried this guy a long ways, and we got to the house, and sure enough, Jesus is there. How many of us would have gotten there in some season, in some area of our lives, and when we ran into that opposition, when there was a great crowd before us, and we were weary from the journey and from carrying our friend, would have said, well, we gave it our best try. We gave it a try. We tried it. How many of us would say it just must not be God's will? And we would turn and we would go away and they'd say, how'd that go when you went on that thing? How'd that go when you started that thing? How'd that go when you stepped on the dream? We'd say, well, we went there, but it was crowded. We went there. We couldn't break through. We went there and Jesus didn't have room for us. We went there and he just didn't have time for us. And these men pressed through. And they modeled to us sometimes what we're going to have to do as the people of God. When we step out and we begin to move towards something that God's called us to, and come on, especially when it involves serving others and being a blessing to others and building God's kingdom and trusting God in faith for a breakthrough in our lives or in the life of a loved one or a friend or a family member or a coworker. Come on, especially when it's one of those things that we run into an obstacle, sometimes there's another level. Sometimes there's another step. Sometimes there's something else. Sometimes we need to just kind of rally the troops and say, okay, we thought it was going to go one way, and it doesn't look like it's going to go just like we thought. What's our next move? What's our next step? Come on, sometimes when you can't go in, the call of God is for you to go up. Sometimes when you can't get in, God's really trying to call you to a new level. God's trying to take you to a new place. How many know that sometimes God's more concerned about what he's doing in you than what you want him to do for you? And when God's doing something in your life, there's almost always a process. And I don't like it sometimes. Come on, just be real with you. I don't like it sometimes, but I've learned that when I embrace it, I always begin to see the heart of God in it. And when there's new life, when there's a dream, come on, there's always a gestation period to the new life of God. And it's because God knows better. It's because sometimes if we got too quickly, if that thing came to life and came to birth, it wouldn't be ready to survive on its own. And we need to embrace the fact that sometimes there's going to be a process. There's going to be some challenges. And is it possible that sometimes God's even in the middle of it? Is it possible that sometimes, I mean, think about the story that God wrote in their heart of these four men and of the paralytic and of all the people who were witnesses to it all. If they had just shown up and it had just been like we like it in our modern day world, like the microwave version. Come on, we serve a crockpot God in a microwave world. And we want things yesterday. We want things now. We want things right now. And I heard it said recently, sometimes God, we expect it to just be microwaved and just come out in 35 seconds and be ready for consumption. And God's marinating you. He's building some things into you that are going to take a little bit of time. And before God builds high, he digs deep in your life. He's got something that he wants to lead you to. And he's got something that he wants you to do. And he's got a plan for your marriage and your family. Come on, some of which you haven't even seen yet. There's some grandkids that you haven't even seen yet. Come on, they're a glimmer in your eye. They're a sparkle in your eye right now. And the perseverance in your marriage when the enemy comes against it, you got to begin to see there's something bigger than just myself. There's a story that God's writing that's greater. And when I begin to understand, I can begin to navigate discouragement. I can begin to navigate disappointment. I can begin to even sometimes embrace the delay of God because I understand that God's no is always associated with his yes. And the crowd and the closed door wasn't God saying no. He was just saying, if you can't get in, sometimes you're going to have to go up. And God's calling you, people of God. God's calling us, Church of Jesus Christ. Come on, God's calling us to go up. God's calling us to look up. In the midst of our culture, in the midst of the headlines, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of what you're going through, come on, God's calling you to look up. God's calling you to go up. He is the answer. He is the way. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to get you back on track. He wants to send you on your way walking where you once were crippled. He wants to send you on your way where right now you feel like you've got to be carried. He wants to do something in your life that gets you back running the race that God's called you to run with endurance. Sometimes he's calling you to look up. And I'm so grateful for the model of these men who didn't allow that to be the end of the day, who didn't allow that to be the end of the story. Come on, when you're going through I've said it before, but it bears repeating, when you're going through a difficult chapter in the book of your life, let God keep writing. Don't get stuck. Turn the page. Come on, he works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If you haven't got to the good part yet, he's not finished. Keep walking, keep moving, keep persevering, keep enduring, keep on moving on. That's the heart of God. And these men, they said, you know what? It's a closed door and it's a crowded place, but we can't get in. So we're doing what? We're going up. And come on, can you picture it in your mind's eye? They climbed up on that roof and it wasn't easy. I doubt there was a ladder. They're still carrying their paralyzed friend. They're tired and weary from a long journey. And I don't know what they expected, but it wasn't going the way that they expected. But they climbed up onto that roof. And the word of God says that they tore a hole right in the very roof. They tore a hole right in the very roof. And the Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Come on, that's a good place for us to just ask ourselves a little bit of a question. How much is Jesus really seeing our faith in action? What we believe, is Jesus seeing it? If Jesus looked at my life, I know what I believe and I know what I want to do, but is the way I'm living it out causing Jesus to look down and see, that's a person who's living for me? That's a person who's sold out for me. That's a person who's not taking no for an answer. That's a person who's determined to see LFK become Lawrence for the kingdom. That's a person who's not willing to just stand idle and stand back and shrink back and allow the weight of the pressures of the culture of this world to just continue to run roughshod. That's a person who's willing to take a stand and make a difference. It says Jesus saw there. Faith. Come on, faith is more than just a system of beliefs. Faith is the life that we live as a people of God. And when you run into a closed door in a crowded place, you got to go up. You got to go up. You got to go up. Come on, some of you, I just feel like this is the word of the Lord for someone. There's something you've been believing for, and there's some steps of action that God is calling you to take. There's something you've been believing for. You've been praying. You've been hoping. You've been expecting. And sometimes that's a good thing. Come on, we're about to get into that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Hear me, hear me, hear me. That's a good thing. Keep trusting God. But sometimes God's going to call you to take a plan of action. Sometimes God's going to call you to take a few steps. Sometimes God's going to call you when you run into an initial closed door or you run into a crowd and it seems like it's not going the way that you expected it to go. Sometimes God's going to look for an act of faith. Sometimes God's going to look for you to say, okay, we're not going to take this as the final chapter. We're going to climb up on this house. Come on, just picture it again. Climb up on this house and tear a hole in the stinking roof. Can you just see from the inside of the house, dust began to fall upon the head of Jesus and the people that were gathered around him. And then a little bit of light began to shine through, and there's a commotion, and people begin wondering and questioning, and they're like, where are the ushers and the security team in a moment like this? And the light that's shining through that starts as just a glimmer begins to widen, and the light begins to pour in, and they hear these men frantically tearing at the roof. Come on, it wasn't easy. There wasn't a hatch door. Sometimes where God's calling you to, there are no shortcuts. There wasn't a hatch door. They had to grip it. They had to claw at it. They had to get their fingernails dirty. They might have bruised and scuffed and scratched their hands, but they were ferociously determined to get in the presence of God because they knew that all the things that they had done before to try to get the breakthrough for their friend that all had failed and fallen short would be provided for if they could just get in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, every answer in your life is found in God's presence. And some of us need to have, come on, we allow ourselves to get too busy to even have a Bible study or have a time of prayer or to pray over our meal or to seek God for our day because we're so busy. We're so busy, and I'm just telling you, some of us need to have that same kind of ferocious determination to say, you know what, I can't make time. We all have 24 hours and 7 days in a week and 365 days in a year. We can't make time. We're all given the same, but I'm going to begin to ferociously and in a determined way make room in my life for the presence of God. I'm going to go look into my schedule, and I'm going to claw some time out. I'm going to make it happen, and I'm going to sit in his presence. And the thing that's weakened me and the thing that's got me weary and the thing that's got me concerned and the thing that's got me hurting and the thing that's holding me back, I'm going to get it in his presence because when I get there, that's where the breakthrough is going to come. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're amening right there. Someone ought to be saying something. When Jesus saw their faith, when he saw their faith, come on, we're not called to just be spectators or just believers. We're called to an active faith. We're called to get after. We're called to tear the ceiling off of the place if we have to get in the presence of God. The people of God are called to be a persevering people. Come on, we're called to be relentless. We're called to be relentless. Romans 2 verse 7 says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he'll give eternal life. Romans 2, verse 7, that same scripture in the New Living Translation says, he'll give eternal life to those who keep on doing good. Come on, say, keep on. Keep on. Keeping on. Keep on. Keeping on. To those who keep on, come on, with persistence. With persistence. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Come on, there's a promise for your life. The call of God is to persevere towards it, to press on into it, to embrace the process, to understand that he's more concerned about who he's making you than what he's giving you. Don't give up. Press in. Press on. Press through. Get to Jesus. Don't give up. Listen, Luke 18 verse 1 through 8, come on, I just want to underline this for you. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show how they should always pray and, look, never give up. And he says, there was a judge in a certain city who, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people, a widow. And that's a contrast because we're talking about a God who deeply cares for you. And the call and his call on your life and your marriage and your family. Come on, if this person that we're about to read about cares for you, how much more does God? And he says that a widow of that city came to that person repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while. But finally, he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman, this is the New Living Translation, this woman is driving me crazy. Husbands, do not elbow your wife at this juncture of the sermon right here. And he said, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out. Husbands, do not elbow your wife during this juncture of the, with her constant request. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you a story. I'm going to tell you a story of how you should always pray and you should never give up. And it says, then the Lord said, learn a lesson. Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. Don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people? Come on, that's you and me who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? He says, you should always pray and you should never get up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. How many times should you pray? Always. Should you? I mean, keep going. Never give up. Never give up. You know what? I think about perseverance. I can't help but remember a story from my life, and it involves one of my favorite little cousins. His name is Colby Sneederjohn, and I got to see Colby for the first time in a long time last week, and it reminded me of this story. And in fact, I have a few pictures just to show you my cousin Colby. There, Colby's on the far left. There's my cousin Colby Sneederjohn and his little brother Noah and his little sister Callie and my aunt and uncle Gary and Tammy, hardworking farmers in the Texas Panhandle, amazing people. And Colby right there, show the next picture then. There's Colby right there and my other little cousins Callie and Noah. And between 1996 and 1998, I was farming in the Texas Panhandle. And I lived close to Colby and Callie and Noah and my aunt and Uncle Gary and Tammy. And one morning, I wasn't serving the Lord. I was really living for myself, but I still knew that it was right to go to church and that there were single girls at church. Come on, I'm just being real. So I'm an 18, 19-year-old kid, and again, I'm not serving God, but I went to church that morning, People's Church, Dalhart, Texas. Come on, shout out to People's Church. And I went to People's Church, Dalhart, Texas, and after church, my little cousin Colby, and he came up to me, and he said, Thomas, after church today, can we play football? And he was about, I don't know, eight, about that age right there. I asked my Aunt Tammy to send me some pictures from sometime between 1996 and 98, and here you go. And he said, can we play football after church? And I said, well, sure, Colby, I would love to play football with you. And so he said, all right, well, I'll call you when we get home from church. And after church, I ran into some buddies of mine. And instead of going home like I thought I was going to do, we ended up going out and running around all afternoon and late into the evening. And who knows what we were doing. We were riding four-wheelers, riding motorcycles, running around town. I got home that night to my little farmhouse that I was staying in that was across the way from my aunt and uncle's farmhouse. And I got into my house, and I had a landline that had a wireless phone, an AT&T wireless phone that had a built-in answering machine in it. Come on, where are my people from the 80s and 90s? How many of you remember that phone, you know? It had the handset that you picked up, and you pulled the silver metal antenna out, you know? And it had a built-in messaging system there. And I walked in, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night that night. And normally I walked into one, maybe two flashing messages. You guys remember the little LED thing there or whatever? And it was flashing, and it would say one or two or three or how many ever messages you had that were waiting for you. And normally I had one or two. And it was either my mom or my grandma calling to check on me and make sure I was eating enough, you know. But today I walked in, this time I walked in, and on my phone was blinking the number 12. And it was blinking 12. And I looked at it, and I just thought, praise God, hallelujah, the women of Dalham County, Texas have discovered that I moved here. They finally figured it out. Somehow my number is out, you know, and word is out on the street. And I went and I hit play on the thing, you know, and you guys can remember how it goes, you know. It would kind of do the rewind thing, and then it would had a date stamp and a time, you know, and it said Sunday, 1:05 p.m. And here's what I had waiting for me, and he said, hey, Thomas, this is your cousin, Colby. This is just how he said it, okay? He said, this is your cousin, Colby Sneederjohn. And I heard it, and I thought, his mom has taught him that he needs to enunciate his name. With a name like Sneederjohn, S-C-H-N-I-E-D-E-R-J-A-N, you got to enunciate your name. And so she's taking him aside, and she said, when you leave messages on people's phones, you got to enunciate your name. And so he said, hi, Thomas, this is your cousin, like I needed to know that, you know, Colby Sneederjohn. And he said, and I'm calling because remember at church just a little bit ago, you said that we could play football this afternoon, so I'm calling you about playing football. So when you get in and you get the message, give me a call back, and we'll play some football. Okay, bye. They remember that was Sunday 105. Then the next one, Sunday 108 p.m. Hey, Thomas, this is your cousin, Colby Sneeder John. And I'm calling because we talked at church today and we were going to throw the football around in my front yard. So when you get the message, give me a call back. For 8 or 10 messages, it's Colby Sneeder John, your cousin. This is your cousin, Colby Sneeder John. But you know, something interesting started to happen as the messages went on and all throughout the day, 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m. And about 5 p.m., 6 p.m., I started to hear a little bit of discouragement in Colby's voice. The message that was, Thomas, this is your cousin, Colby Sneeder John, and you remember we talked at church this morning about playing football, began to sound kind of a little bit slower, like, hey, Thomas, this is your cousin, Colby Sneeder John. And I'm calling because remember, you said that we would throw the football around, so call me when you get the message. And I listen to all the messages, and my heart is just breaking, you know. I feel so bad because I had intentions to play football with Colby Sneeder John. I did not mean what I said. I intended to do it. But it was near and dear to his heart. He had an expectation. He valued it. He cared for it. He was persevering. Come on, 12 phone calls later, at about 8 o'clock that night, here's what the last message sounded like. And this is God's honest truth. This is exactly the message verbatim. It said, Thomas, it goes Sunday, 8:05 p.m. Beep. Thomas, it's getting dark outside. That's exactly what he said. And by that time, it was 9:30. It was too late to call back an 8-year-old kid, you know, on Sunday night. I wanted to call. In fact, I think I did call, and I talked to my Aunt Tammy, and I said, oh, my gosh, I feel so bad. I told Colby that I would play football with them this afternoon, and then I got caught up with some buddies after church, and I didn't make it home. I'm just getting the messages. And tomorrow morning, will you tell Colby that tomorrow evening I'm coming over, and we are going to play football like we've never played before? We'll play as long as he wants. We'll jump on the trampoline. We'll throw the ball around. We'll play his Nintendo. We'll do whatever he wants for as long as he wants because I'm going to make it up to him. Come on, sometimes you got to persevere. And Jesus said, there's a lesson. He said, I'm going to teach you a lesson about how to pray and never give up. And he said, an unrighteous person who was pestered by this person, and they weren't even righteous, and they didn't do it because they cared, but they said, this crazy woman is driving me crazy, and she's wearing me out, and finally I'm going to do something good for her. And he said, how much more will a God who loves you and care for you, if you'll just pray, and you'll never get up, and you'll never give up, and you'll persevere, and you'll keep praying, and you won't grow weary of doing good in a due season according to God's word, you'll reap a harvest if you don't lose heart. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Press through. Don't give up. He said, how much more will a God who cares for you at some point answer your prayer? I want to ask the worship team to come forward and prepare to help us to dismiss. And this is going to be about a 4 or 5 week message, but I believe every Sunday, there's going to be a divine appointment for someone who's dealing with discouragement, disappointment, doubt, delay, or defeat. Today, I feel like the thing that's really highlighted is discouragement and disappointment and delay. Listen, you know better than I do. That's something that you're up against. You know this morning if there's something that you believed for. There was an expectation. And you showed up and it didn't go the way that you thought it would go. You know better than I if there's something that God spoke over your life or promised you. He meant it. You thought it was going to happen at 1:05. You thought it was going to happen at 2 p.m. You hoped it would happen at 5 p.m. And 8 p.m. came and went, and it was bedtime, and you just had to keep trusting and keep praying. And I'm just telling you, if the heart of a cousin towards Colby Sneeder John was to make it up to him and to say, you know what, now I might have come over on Sunday afternoon and I might have played for 20, 30, 45 minutes, who knows, but tomorrow you're going to get my very best. You're going to get everything I've got, and I'll play with you as long as you want. And I'm just telling you, sometimes what God has in mind, his delay is a redirection to his better plan. He's got something for you. And he says, keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing. Don't give up. When you can't get in, go up. If that's you this morning in any area of your life, come on, any area of your life, and come on, we are a family here. This is a place of grace. If that's you, no judgment. We won't know what you're up against. If it's something God's called you to, if it's a promise that he's given you, if it's a desire or a dream of your heart, if it's in your marriage or your family, or if it's in your finances, But you're up against one of those things, discouragement, disappointment, doubt, delay, or defeat. I just want to invite you to just stand to your feet as an act of faith, the kind of faith that God sees today. I want to just ask you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that God would strengthen you to begin to endure and persevere. I want to pray for you that God would begin to, even in some way, somehow begin to shift your perspective. That what right now seems like a disappointment, what right now only all you can feel is the discouragement, and all you're related to is the delay, that today you can begin to see maybe it's because God knows better than I, maybe it's because his ways are higher, maybe it's because he has something that he's trying to get me to, something he's trying to do in me. Father, in Jesus' name, we just lift up these precious people. And Lord, we don't know what they're going through, but you do. And whatever it is, any of those five things or something in between or a combination of all of them, Lord, those who are disappointed and discouraged today, Lord, we thank you that you would begin to just strengthen them, God. We thank you that there would be a faith that would begin to stir in them, that you are a good God and you have a good plan. And Lord, if those who are up against delay, there was a hope, there was a dream, there was a desire, there was a promise, and there was an expectation that they had. Lord, help them to see today, God, that you're in the middle of it all, God. That you're seeing them through, and that your no's are associated with your yes, that you are an open door, that they can trust you to close the doors that need to be closed, and in just the right season, in just the right time, open the door to the path and the promise that you have for them. God, your ways are higher. Your ways are better. Come on, we're the people of God, and we live by faith and not by sight. What we see today, what you see today is not the sum total of what God's up to in your life. It's just a portion. It's just a picture. It's just a page. It's just a chapter of something bigger that God's doing in your life. And Lord, we just pray right now, come on, not just because of a good message or because of my words, but because of your love, your power, your spirit, Lord, moving and stirring in the hearts of your people as they stand. And it's faith that you see, God, that you would begin, God, to stir and quicken their faith, Lord, to begin to run this race from a different perspective, that you would bring endurance, that you would bring strength, that you would bring hope, God, in the name of Jesus, to your precious people. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and you will see us through. You've done it before, Lord, and you will do it again. We trust you and we thank you. Come on, all of God's people, stand to your feet and just join those who are standing to receive. And come on, right there where you are, just continue. And just a posture of just praying and submitting that thing before God and trusting that as we close this service, he's going to begin to just speak. There's going to be a spark. There's going to be fresh faith. There's going to be encouragement that he begins to bring to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And before we close with this last song, I want to give you the opportunity to do the most important thing we'll do today, and that's respond to the offer of salvation that your Heavenly Father extends to you through the gift of Jesus Christ, that he so loved you. He so loved you. He so cared for you. He so desired you, a relationship with you. He sent his son Jesus to die on that cross, to endure that thing. The joy before him was you, your sins forgiven, your life made new, you restored to a relationship with him. He loves you so much. And if that's you today and you would say, Pastor T, I'm far from God, or I need to rededicate my life, I need to surrender my life to him, I need the forgiveness of my sins, I need what the Bible describes as a fresh start, a born-again life, a new opportunity at life. If that's you this morning, perhaps your heart is quickening today, and you didn't know it was going to happen, but God did. And if that's you today, I just want you to do just what we talked about earlier. Take a step of faith, and all I'm going to ask you to do is just lift your hand towards heaven and say, Pastor T, that's me. Would you pray for me? Come on, if that's you this morning, you need to respond to the free gift of salvation. You need a relationship with your Heavenly Father, your sins forgiven and made new. Come on, thank you, Lord Jesus, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these hands and what they represent, a heart that's turning to you, a heart that's stirring and a heart that's being changed today in your presence. And come on, at Rev City, we're a family of God, and so I invite all of us to just pray this together along with you, those of you who raised your hand. So come on, church, with a loud voice, would you pray this together with those precious people who lifted their hands to dedicate their lives to serving and knowing Jesus Christ? Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a fresh start, a new life. I give you that life. I place my trust in you. And you alone. And I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, with a loud shout, say, I'll never be the same. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. For those precious people who made that decision this morning, can you put your hands together and just give thanks for the lives changing. Worship team, lead us in this song. And then Pastor Eddie will come forward and he'll dismiss us and he'll call the altar ministry team forward to pray for those who need it today. We love you. God bless you. We're praying for you.